Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. And we're going to have a show that I think is going to be quite inspiring to you today, especially if you're like so many of us that after the holidays have passed and you're finding you're getting out that pair of slacks or whatever and you put it on and you go, oh, I can't even suck it in. I can't even get the zipper up. Ooh, what am I going to do? Well, I think there's some help on the way. I know there's diets upon diets upon diets out there, but I think our guest today, Dr. Larry McCleary, is going to give us a perspective that may make it a little bit easier from not only a professional point of view, but also, I think, from a positioning of experience that he has gone through. Dr. McCleary, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hi, Donna. I really appreciate you asking me to join you for this broadcast. I think it'll be exciting.
Well, I think so. Now, I want to give information to my audience about you. You were the acting chief of pediatric neurosurgery at Denver Children's Hospital, and you were the director of the Children's Neuroscience Foundation. You are the medical director for the Shining Stars Foundation, which is a wonderful organization devoted to recreational and outreach programs for children that have gotten cancer and other very, very serious diseases and illnesses. You lecture throughout the world. You've written a number of scientific publications. And you also had a special program called the Brain Trust Program that was really very well received by a lot of people. Now, with that kind of a background, the first thought I had was, why in the world are you writing about dealing with food, dietary things? What prompted you to take this avenue that, in my mind's view, seems to be miles away from what you deal with every day?
Well, Donna, you know, I must admit, I kind of share your perspective. When I realized that I was writing my new book, Feed Your Brain, Lose Your Belly, and it dealt with nutrition and weight loss issues, I said, wow, how did this happen? Because, as you mentioned, for many years, I worked at Denver Children's Hospital with kids, newborns up to about age 18, who had some of the worst brain insults. And that was really my passion for many years. And it's kind of where my connection with food developed, because I found out that when you provided a sick brain with the right nutrition, it healed more completely and it healed more rapidly. And that's when I got into the connection between nutrition and brain health. So that's where it all started. And over the years, I really kind of drifted into how food affects the metabolic pathways that make us sick or make us healthy. And that's how I ended up writing about Feed Your Brain and Lose Your Belly.
Well, I was very impressed when I started reading about that, because from my own personal experience, my audience has heard me say this, I have a tendency towards hypoglycemia. I have for all of my life. And I know that when my blood sugar levels get low, my brain does not function very well. And so many people have gotten to a patterning with food, and I've heard this from more than one doctor, that they are literally starving themselves and they don't realize how it affects the brain. And nutrition is so vitally important. And I just think that what you have done in bringing forth this kind of information, it can help parents with their children. It can help adults understand the value of so many things. So let's talk about what was the very first aha you had with the brain-belly connection?
Well, you know, I was, it was, doctors learn from their patients. And, you know, I walked into the hospital one day, and one of the kids who I take care of, who was 6 or 7 years old, was in the emergency room, and she had developed juvenile diabetes about a year before and given herself an overdose of insulin, not intentionally, but diabetics have to follow their blood sugar and then decide how much insulin to inject, and she just overdid it. And just as you said, when you get hypoglycemic, the first things you're aware of are, you know, you get kind of tingly, shaky, you know, kind of anxious, you know something's going on, maybe you sweat a little bit, and then your brain really doesn't work well. And if the sugar level gets lower and lower, you can actually lose consciousness, and that's actually what happened to her. And that was, for me, kind of the aha moment, because that's when I realized what was happening was that she was starving her brain, and that's what was causing her symptoms. And I realized that that was, it's like heads and tails on a coin. That's when I realized that too much insulin was bad for the brain, and what it did was redirect a lot of the sugar into her fat cells. And so that's kind of the flip side of the brain-belly connection.
This brings out a point. You talk about sticky fat cells, and you say fat is stored in fat cells. When they get big, we get fat. When they shrink, we lose weight. So people will say, and I'll share something personal. I can remember years ago, and believe me, I really wasn't fat at the time, but I thought I was. And I can remember going to a doctor and getting injections, this is a long time ago, thinking, well, I can lose that 20 pounds I need to lose. And I was taking in only 600 calories a day, and I didn't lose a pound. And I'll never forget talking to a woman who was obese. This woman had battled with obesity for years. Her name was Peggy. I will never forget her as long as I live. One of the sweetest human beings you could ever know. They put her at the time in a hospital, did not feed her anything. All she had was water. She gained 5 pounds. This poor woman just was absolutely traumatized about this. This is, the body does some real strange things, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And I think that, you know, when you're talking about weight loss and weight gain, it's a major problem. And I think for the past 30 or 35 years, we've seen waistlines expand. And at the same time, we've seen the incidence of Alzheimer's disease increase. And I think the two of those are related. And I think your insights are really kind of at the fulcrum of how the whole system works. And when, I mean, I got interested in this whole field personally because, you know, when I was a practicing physician, you know, I've retired a couple of years ago, and I write books and talk now, but at that time, you don't really take good care of yourself. I gained a few pounds, and I tried to figure out, how can I get rid of this? And that's really when I started thinking about what the connection between brains and bellies were, how people work individually and differently, and got into the whole weight loss thing. And I think if you ask most of your listeners who have considered trying to take off 10 pounds, 20 pounds, or even more, what happens when they go to the doctor? The doctor says, well, I think you have gained fat, which means you're storing energy, so you have to get rid of that. And the recommendations usually are to eat less and exercise more, to eat less, to take fewer calories in, to exercise more, meaning to burn more calories off, and that's how they think you should lose weight. Well, if that worked, we wouldn't be in the midst of an obesity epidemic right now, and I think that's absolutely the wrong way to approach weight loss.
So let's talk about some foods now, because we see ads on television today that will talk about corn, sweeteners, this type of thing. And I choose, because of what I have become educated about, not to take that in. And it just doesn't work well with my body. any of the corn sweeteners or what have you, but there are the ads on television that talk about, gee whiz, do that. It's not any different than any other sugar. But you give research in here about corn and how when it's digested, it goes into becoming a particular type of sugar. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, I think if you're talking about corn and corn syrup,
mm-hmm.
and high fructose corn syrup, which is in thousands or millions of foods, that's a tricky thing to deal with, and I think it's an important topic to discuss. And high fructose corn syrup, which is a type of manufactured sugar, is a molecule that has two parts, a glucose part and a fructose part. And the fructose part is called a lipogenic sugar, which means it is a fat-forming sugar. So if you eat a lot of high fructose corn syrup, made from corn, obviously, it does two things. It forms a lot of fat in your body, and there are now studies that are coming out that show the way fructose is handled in the brain, instead of decreasing appetite, it actually increases appetite. So it kind of tricks your brain into getting hungry and eating more. So the more high fructose corn syrup you eat, or that type of sugar, the hungrier you get and the fatter you get. So that's something that the body in millions of years of evolution has never really been exposed to in the amounts we're exposed today. I mean, 1,000 or 10,000 years ago, we got exposed to 6 grams of fructose. Today, kids are eating 200 grams a day, and it's no wonder we're in the midst of a pediatric obesity epidemic. And I think that the fructose and high fructose corn syrup plays a major role.
You also made a comment, the brain-mouth relationship with food is so important. Muscles and the heart, for example, can generate the power they depend upon from a diversity of what you describe nutrient fuel. The brain doesn't do that, though. How come?
Well, the brain is kind of interesting because the brain usually only burns glucose because it's really a high-octane fuel. The rest of the body, like heart and the muscles that move our limbs, can burn fat and sugar. But for technical reasons, the brain doesn't have that ability. The other thing about the brain is it cannot store energy, so it needs a continuous supply. And the third thing about the brain is that it burns calories, or it burns energy 10 times as fast as the rest of the body, so it needs a continuous high supply of energy, and it's usually in the form of glucose. And that's the way the body works. And if you're on the road to getting obese or gaining weight, that whole process that the brain depends upon to burn glucose gets derailed. And that's why we have brain problems, and that's why we have obesity problems.
I think understanding the relevancy of good food, healthy fats, and what you've just mentioned, problems with the brain, will make so much difference. I know of people that are elderly, and in my view, they are suffering from malnutrition. They are taking in small amounts of food. Often I've discovered the elderly, and you can correct me if your observations are different. As someone gets up there in years, frequently their appetite diminishes. And then they're told, well, don't have this, don't have that, don't have the other. And the foods that they're getting, I saw this happen with my own grandmother. And then all of a sudden, the body starts breaking down. It starts having problems. Now, she was 92 when I observed a lot of this going on. But I'll tell you what, good food really does make a difference. The body needs it. There are so many diets out there, and there's a lot of them. I know because I get all kinds of materials, and I have my entire life have always had to be aware of what I eat because I've got this, I call it the Wapaho heritage. I've got all kinds. I've got the Italian, the German. I come from good stock. And so I really have to be careful because I could end up being a little bowling ball. And being petite, that's not what you want. But I can tell you, I had tried so many things and I would get so frustrated because I wouldn't see results. And other people would say, well, I went, you know, did this and did this. And I go, why is it that doesn't work with me? And it was because I was on, literally not eating very much, that I discovered I was hypoglycemic years ago. So I had a doctor tell me, you're disciplined. Just remember, you need smaller meals because you are using up all kinds of energy. So when I read your book, I thought, this is good stuff. What are the five diets that you talk about in your book?
Can I, you know, I think that you've hit a really important point. Before we go into the different diets that I analyze, can I just talk about that for a minute?
Oh, please do.
As I said earlier, I've taken care of a number of kids who've had very sick brains and realized that if you feed those brains well, they recover more rapidly and they recover more completely. And now people who are 60, 70, 80 are saying, well, what does that have to do with me? Well, it just shows that if you feed the brain properly, it responds, and that's certainly true in kids. But here is another bit of information that I think your readers would love. There was a paper published in a medical journal in January of 2011 that showed that if you did delicate scans of people who were starting to gain weight, you know, sort of pre-diabetic who had normal brain function, mm-hmm. that you could identify regions of brain starvation in specific areas in the brain.
Wow.
And not only that, but those areas where the brain was starving are the same areas where people who are developing Alzheimer's disease have the same brain starvation. So that shows that the same principles apply in the older age group that they did in the kids. You know, you've got to avoid brain starvation. And because of studies like this, there are a number of brain science and Alzheimer's researchers who are starting to refer to Alzheimer's disease as type 3 diabetes, and some of them are actually using the term brain starvation to describe what happens in those brains. And the important point is it really depends to a large degree on what you feed your brain, which is exactly what you just said. And I think that if there's one take-home message from this discussion, I think if you feed your brain properly, you will have a brain that functions better and ages better, and you will be thinner for it. So I think mm-hmm. that was a great insight that you had.
Five diets that you covered. One was the low fat. Another one's the high fat. We all know about those because they have people that swear by them. And that's fine. You know, it works for somebody. But they don't work for me. They just don't work for me. And I finally realized that total starvation, boy, that one didn't take too long to figure that one out. But I tried. You know, people will say, just don't eat, and the weight will drop off of you. Well, everybody's body's differently. And do you think they'll ever get to the point where they'll be able to do, I believe they will, a metabolic test to find out actually what your chemistry works best with? Are they closer to getting to that?
Well, there, you know, that's the way medicine is headed right now. I mean, if we can profile our genes and we know what different combinations of genes do in the body, then we'll be able to predict what type of diet, because diets interact with genes, what type of diet is best for your body type or your genetic profile. And, you know, we're not there yet, but we're getting closer all the time. And I agree, all people are different, and one diet doesn't work for everyone. But I think that people, if you look at Americans, say on average we have 300 million Americans, well, 200 million are either overweight or obese, and 100 million are frankly obese. And those people have a lot of commonalities, and that's what the Feed Your Brain, Lose Your Belly book talks about the commonalities in the people who have actually gained weight. But I think what's going to be very exciting for me is in the next 10 or 15 years, these changes that researchers are identifying that can really tell us what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat. I think we live in exciting times, and I think it'll impact not only our waistlines, but heart health, which is a major killer, and brain health as well.
I agree. And something that really concerns me when I'm around and about publicly with different people is how we have gotten away from some understandings of some good basic things that are very important. And I am thinking of a woman right now who is so weak. She is in her 60s, her early 60s. She has no stamina, no strength whatsoever. She is a vegetarian, but she is, in my view, suffering from extreme malnutrition. And this is someone that's extremely intelligent, and she concerns me because I know she's not taking in fat. I know she's not taking in any fat whatsoever if she can help it. And she is basically just so, and she's very thin, but I was with her on an occasion, and I was just working circles around her, and she couldn't lift things, she couldn't hold things, she just didn't have it. And I said, "You're starving. You just are not getting enough nourishment." And it was very difficult to get that across to her. Men and women both need to understand fat isn't bad for you, and that's something you bring out in your book. Let's talk about fats, and I really like what you say about coconut oil, because I think that that's a wonderful oil. But let's talk about bringing fat into the diet. Most of the time people say, "I don't want any fat, don't give me any fat," because we've been so indoctrinated on this. This is going to be a tough one to turn around.
Well, you know, that is a battle I seem to fight and a lot of other doctors fight. And, you know, I think that's really worth saying something about, because a lot of people say, "Well, I can't eat a higher fat diet. My doctor won't let me do it because he said maybe it's not bad for my heart." But let me just kind of backtrack and address that. If you, and I mentioned this in the book, if you go back to 1977, when, you know, this obesity thing was starting to, you know, catch on and people were gaining weight and so forth, George McGovern was a senator at that time, and he had a Senate Select Committee that was interested in what Americans should eat. And he interviewed a number of nutrition experts, doctors, and fat and carbohydrate experts, and he basically asked them, "What should Americans eat?" And that was the basis for his dietary goals for the United States. And that was the first time that a branch of the government made the recommendation to banish fat from our diet. And that was like January 1977, and if you look at obesity trends, they took a dramatic increase at that time. And since 1977, obesity rates have increased 250%, and the amount of fat in our diet has gone from 40% to 30%. So Americans listened to what McGovern said. They decreased fat by 25%, and obesity increased by 250%. And I think that the two are related for reasons we can talk about. And the other thing is, if you look at the brain, which from my perspective is the most important organ, we're all fatheads. If you squeeze the water out of the brain, about three-quarters of what's left is fat. And it's not just any type of fat. It's delicate functional fat, and that's what allows the nerve cells to do all of the wonderful things they do. And if you restrict fat from the diet, not only do you decrease the fat-soluble vitamins, but you restrict the building blocks that the brain relies on, because a number of the fats the brain needs are essential fats that the body cannot make. So I think by banishing fat from our plate, our waistlines went up, and our, you know, we're in the midst of an Alzheimer's obesity or an Alzheimer's epidemic, and I think the two are related. And I think banishing fat from our diet is sort of the fulcrum that has determined both those problems.
I happened to see a video done by Jack LaLanne. I don't know when it was. Someone sent it to me because he's been a guest on my show, and he just passed away recently.
You are so lucky to have had him. He is phenomenal.
He really is. And on this video, I don't recall who sent it to me. By the way, if you're listening to the show, I want to thank you for sending it to me. He talked about something that you've got in your book. He had a blackboard, and he said, folks, I really want you to be aware of something. This is one of his old television shows. He said, limit or avoid entirely bread, rolls, cake, candy, cookies, honey, sugar, high fructose corn syrup, soda, pasta, okay, in small amounts, al dente is better, white or red potatoes, rice, corn, ice cream, jam and jelly, dates, figs, watermelon, any foods containing trans fats. Leave artificial sweeteners alone unless you're going to use stevia. And then treats, chocolate, you limit it to about an ounce of dark chocolate. This is almost identical to what he had on that blackboard. And in this little video, he said, please pay attention to these things. Just leave these alone.
Well, he was a proponent for banishing what he referred to as the dreaded white sugar, which is what all of those carbohydrate and carbohydrate-related foods were broken down into. And I mean, that was, when did that come out? That must have been about 45 years ago, because I think
I'm sure you're right.
But he, you know, he didn't have, I mean, he spoke from personal experience. He didn't have the biochemistry and the medicine and all of the literature that's developed since then. He just knew what was right for his body and what worked for him. And I think, you know, he clearly, because he did a lot of weight training and bodybuilding, he was really in touch with his body, and he knew what was good for it, activity, mental challenge, weight training, and he knew what was bad for it, and it was all of the things that he listed. And I think he truly is one of my heroes, and I totally support what he said. I think what's interesting is, you know, that he mentioned chocolate. And I think, while I'm not saying you should go on a chocoholic's diet, it's interesting that a lot of the research on dark chocolate that has come out over the last 5 years really has surprised me. Because, for one thing, the fats in chocolate are not bad for the heart, which everyone thought initially. And the other thing is, now that we know that free radicals, which are these destructive particles that can age us and cause heart disease and joint disease and brain disease, they are generated more rapidly as we age, that antioxidants quench those. They stop the bad actions of free radicals. And there is a scale called the ORAC scale that tells you how good a food is at quenching free radicals. And cherries and broccoli are down below 1,000. Berries are 4,000 or 5,000. But dark chocolate is about 15,000. So it really has some tremendous benefits. So modern nutrition is banishing some old myths these days.
Well, I'm so glad that that's the case. Now, I know we're just about out of time here, Dr. McCleary. Feed your brain, lose your belly. Now, you have a website, drmccleary.com. And for those of you listening, why don't you just check this out, drmccleary.com. This book is really an eye-opener, giving you a whole different perspective than maybe you've ever had before. Wonderful recipes are in here, his suggested dietary program. So I really appreciate your taking time out of your busy schedule, Dr. McCleary, to be with me today. It's been a delight having you as a guest.
Well, thank you so much, Donna. And, you know, I just hope this helped some of your listeners. It's been a pleasure.
Well, it's definitely been an eye-opener for me. I've really enjoyed it. Feed your brain, lose your belly. Dr. Larry McCleary, he's also the best-selling author of The Brain Trust Program. Makes sense. Check it out. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Thank you again, Dr. McCleary, for being with me. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, we had Dr. McCleary on telling you about the brain-belly connection. We now have Rio. And Rio's been on my show before. She is very much into raw foods, but what we're going to be talking about for the next quarter of the show, we're going to be discussing her knowledge, her experience, and her background, and she's got some special classes that are going to be coming up, too. So I want to welcome Rio back to the Donna Sebo Show. Hi, Rio.
Hi, thank you so much.
Well, I'm so delighted to have you back on the air because, and this is so timely, because of what we were just discussing with the guest before you came on, and I thought this really dovetails well because you're so much into nutrition. You've had so many personal experiences of your own. Now, you are very much into raw foods. What did you want to talk about today, Rio? What was it you wanted to share with my audience?
I'm very excited today because I haven't taught a private class in about 5 years. About 5 years ago, I used to teach raw living food classes for a doctor here in New York. He used to send me all his patients, and I would do this like on a biweekly basis. And then I got involved in some other things and kind of let that go. And now I'm starting it up again, and so I have a class coming up. It's like a 3-day hands-on raw food preparation plus the theory and science behind raw food, and it's an intensive course for 3 days starting March 18th through the 20th here in New York City.
Wow.
And I'm very, very excited about teaching this class because I kind of miss teaching, you know. I love to just interact with people and teach them what I know. And also, I have to say that I'm not only a teacher, I'm a learner. And when I do a class, I'm learning as much as I'm teaching.
Oh, isn't that the way it always is when you're teaching? I feel the same way. I think that's what makes a good teacher, really, because you realize that, and it's just like the doctor said previously, He said his patients were his teachers. He learned a lot of things actually from the patients. You do the same thing when you're teaching students. I've done the same thing. Now, raw foods, most people, when they are going to hear about that, it's like their toes and ears start to curl. And they go, oh, please, I just can't handle it. It just doesn't work for me digestion-wise. I end up burping my salads, or I have, you know, this, that, or the other going on with me. And the raw foods are very, very important, not just because of fiber, but because it really does help to release those natural plant nutrients that are so vital to the well-being of our body. Give us some information. I know I'm cheating here, but I'm going to do it anyway. Give me some information about what you're going to be teaching in your class. Share something with my audience. So for those of you in New York, and I know we've got a lot of listeners in New York, you may want to think about this, because this is coming up in March, so you have time to plan for it. And she has a wonderful farm. Rio, what are some of the things you teach? Sprouting, what do you do?
Well, I'm going to cover practically everything in the raw food kitchen, but I just want to dispel the notion that raw food is just carrot and celery sticks. It is not. We can make dishes in the raw food that are comparable to cooked food dishes. Like, we can make a lasagna. I'm going to be teaching how to make a lasagna. We can make risotto. We can make pizzas.
Wait a minute. I can just hear my listeners, Rio, saying, well, come on. Yeah, a pizza? You have got to be kidding.
We can make a pizza and lasagna. We can make risotto. We can make all kinds of dishes that are comparable to cooked food dishes, because it's not only myself, and, you know, I have been an innovator, innovating different dishes, but there's so many raw food chefs out there now innovating the same way I am. So they're coming up with wonderful dishes that are just amazing, and there's books coming out every day, which I applaud and I think are so important. I don't feel threatened that, okay, my book is not going to sell as much, because the main thing is to move this movement forward so that people can get healthy and realize that they can be healthy, that it's their natural heritage to be healthy, if they will just abide by a few rules that nature set up for us.
I agree. Now, let's talk about one of the dishes that you've mentioned.
Risotto. Okay, so you take like daikon radish and some white carrots. You take like about 3 cups of those, and you grind it up in the food processor with some pine nuts, and you make it like it looks like, you know, it looks like rice. You make it look like rice. And then you add into that some flavorings, like some lemon juice, some apple cider vinegar, garlic, a little olive oil, some Celtic sea salt, some saffron, some cherry tomatoes, peas, you know, everything a risotto dish would have, you add into that. But that's your base. So you have your base of pine nuts, white carrot, and daikon radish. That's your rice. And then you add everything else in. And it's wonderful. People love it. I can make noodles. I can make noodles with a ranch dressing on it that is comparable to noodles that, you know, that people eat cooked, and people love it. And all you have to do is you take a potato peeler and you peel daikon radish. You know, you make long strips with the potato peeler on daikon radish or carrot or a combination, daikon radish, carrot, zucchini, summer squash, and so that's your noodles. And then you put a nice ranch dressing on that with some chopped tomatoes. It's delicious, and people love it.
Now, this is something when you think about kids and mothers especially, because usually it's the moms that take care of this stuff, they're saying, how in the world can we get vegetables into our kids where they're going to want to eat them, because their taste buds, they prefer blander foods, typically. And they say, how can we do this?
This is really interesting, Donna, because I just interviewed somebody who gave their children, they have two children now, and they gave their children this kind of food from the beginning, from when they were babies. So, you know, from when they started eating, let's say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had no problem adjusting them to the more, you know, these kind of flavors. But with parents that have children that have been on the standard American diet and are really hooked on the sugars, the best way to start with them is through fruits and desserts, because those are the sweet flavors. And then little by little, they can convert them into the other flavors. But as I said before, I just interviewed somebody who raised their children from babyhood, when they started eating, of course, with these more tart and, you know, the more, the flavors like the risottos and the lasagnas and stuff like that. And the children just went for it. They love it because they were introduced to it early. But again, with children that haven't been introduced to it early, I would start with the fruits and the desserts.
Well, that's a very good suggestion. I wanted to ask you about breads, because this is something that so many people, they want to get away from the white bread. They want to get away from the processed bread. But they say, I just have this craving for bread. And you have in your book, Hooked on Raw, which is a marvelous book for those of you that would like to explore this. She's got so much stuff in this book, it's just unbelievable. But the breads especially, I don't know of very many people that would be happy without bread in their diet in one shape or another. You have, you know, crackers and different things that could be done. But you talk about Essene breads, and they're made from sprouted seeds. Tell us how you'd work with this.
And well, for example, I just posted on my Facebook page, and I invite people to look at that. They can go to, just put in Rio and Rio's Raw Energy, and they'll come up to my Facebook page. And I just posted a recipe that was in my book for blueberry muffins. And a lady got all the ingredients and made it, and she gave me a really good endorsement there. She said she just loved them, and they're so easy to make, and they really are. But you do need a dehydrator, so you do need certain equipment that you'll gradually get as you get more into a raw food diet.
Mm-hmm.
Essene breads can be made with sprouted grains and seeds. There's many different combinations that can be made. I don't promote wheat. I'm allergic to wheat personally. All the people in my family are allergic to wheat, and I have met many, many people that are allergic to wheat, and sometimes people are allergic to it and don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose in my book not to deal with wheat. So I make the breads out of, let's say I use flax, or I use buckwheat. Buckwheat is not related to wheat in any way. It's a completely different grain. And I use barley. I use oats. Barley does have a little gluten in it, but some people are not sensitive to the gluten in barley. And oats, I was mistaken. I thought oats had gluten in them, but they don't. I just
mm-hmm.
found out recently. So a lot of people that are allergic to wheat can tolerate oats.
Well,
so
I'm just
breads,
amazed, you know,
breads can be made out of all of those. And, of course, they're not going to resemble the breads that we're used to, but again, your tongue will change over a period of time, and you'll be able to adapt. And why would you want to adapt? That's why I invite people to look at my book, because I give in the first part of my book all the reasons why you could try to adapt to a raw food diet. Or let's say, you know, it doesn't have to be 100% raw food. Go get the percentage that you enjoy, but just, you know, keep increasing it until you get, let's say, above 60-70%. Then your health is going to benefit greatly.
Well, I think that, as you've just suggested, if you incorporate little bits, because not everybody is going to want to be totally raw. I prefer raw vegetables. I really do. I enjoy them a great deal. And it's just something, I think because I was raised in California, we had such an abundance of it. It was just a part of our life. But one of the many things that happens when people are able to become aware of what you are going to be teaching in your class, for example, it gives them a different mindset. It gives them options to work with to benefit themselves. And if they are having a challenge, let's say they're extremely heavy. I have a woman friend that I knew. She must have been at least 350 to 400 pounds. She was just huge. And she wasn't all that tall. And she went on a raw food diet. And she really was very good with it. And she ended up releasing like 150 pounds, and then her body just sort of stabilized. But she's looking really good, and she didn't lose her muscle tone, which so many times when people lose that much weight, they do. So it's really quite incredible. Rio, I can hardly believe we're out of time already. My goodness.
I'd like to give people the contact number.
Oh, please do.
Okay.
Please
so
give
if you're
your
interested,
and your phone number.
If you're interested in attending this class, it's March 18th, 19th, and 20th. I do have accommodations for at least six people in a shared room if people are from out of town. And the number to call is 212-941-5857. That's 212-941-5857, and my website is rawfoodinfo.com.
Rawfoodinfo.com. And by the way, I want the listeners to know something else. You have got what I'll call toddies and supertonics in here.
Oh, yes.
Now, I'm telling you, these are really amazing, and they will do what she says they will do. So her book is called Hooked on Raw. Go to her website, rawfoodinfo.com, and you're going to find a lot there that is just absolutely amazing. And I recommend her book highly because I've made plenty of notes in it, believe me. There's
Thank
a
you,
lot
Donna.
Of good. Oh, you're welcome.
Thank
There's a
you.
Lot of good information here. Rio, we're going to have to say goodbye.
Okay.
But I know we're going to be on again. And thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with me.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful evening now in New York.
Okay.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Write down this number if you're in the area and you want to go to her class, 212-941-5857. Three wonderful days, March 18th through 20th. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. rawenergyradio.com.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and I'd love to know where you're calling in from. and I will give you my perceptions, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you would like to have some insight on. Who have we got tomorrow? Well, we've got Chip Haynes, and the title of his book, I just think it's so opposite of what you would think. It's called The Peak of the Devil. Well, it has nothing to do with that red critter that is so often associated with it, that's got the horn sticking out of his head. No, no, no. And the weird tail? No, we don't. That's not the guy we're talking about. We're going to be talking about the oil industry. That's right. The Peak of the Devil has a particular meaning relative to the industry. Also on Friday, Deanna Minnick is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about quantum healing. Quantum healing. Deanna has put together some absolutely wonderful modalities, variable modalities for wellness. And then on Monday, the last day of the month, we are going to be doing an interview with Ellen Galvin, and it's The Secrets of a Working Dog, and it's Bella the Boxer. Oh, she's just gorgeous. She's wonderful. And Ellen is the spokesperson for Bella because she's just not up to doing the radio show, but that's okay. We'll find enough about Bella. She's just a doll. So we've got a great lineup, and oh, have I got a lineup for next month. And that'll be posted. That'll be posted fairly soon, so you'll be able to see about the guests. Everything, not everything you want to know, because you're going to have to tune into the show to learn everything that you may want to know, but you'll be able to find out who's coming on, when, the dates, etc., and all of that will be put into place. You know, we've been talking about nutrition on the show today, and I think it's so important. I can tell you, as a professional and having read the volumes of material that have crossed my desk and talked with different medical professionals, personal experiences, I am just sick and tired of the word diet. I really am. Because I really feel we need to be aware that everyone's body works differently. And just like we were talking about the doctor when he was making the comment about the strides that they are moving towards understanding metabolic functioning. Some people, just like Rio was saying, how she is allergic to wheat. People like myself, with my particular metabolism, if I start eating a whole bunch of bread, or if I have too much in the way of what you'd call the carbs, I can blow up like a balloon and nothing flat. Yet I know other people that could eat bread 45 times a day, and they're slim as a rail. It's very irritating, you know. So when we have these metabolic structures that we're working with, when we can become educated about it and become aware of our bodies, not have disdain for them, but really become aware of it, then we're going to eat what's best for us. And many years ago, and I'll share this personal experience of my own, when I found out that I had hypoglycemia, it was because I actually saw my vision turning black. I had been on one of these starvation diets where you weren't supposed to eat much, and I was like so many other young women. You just didn't want to put weight on, and if you did, you'd get paranoid about it. So I wasn't eating. Well, I was with my young daughter at the time, and we were in a location. It was just great, and she said, "Gee, Mom, I want a cookie." I said, "Fine." So we went into a bakery. I'm standing in the bakery, and my vision is going black. I was freezing to death. And what I discovered later is that, just like the doctor described, my brain was being affected. Fortunately, something inside of me just said, get a cookie, stuff it in your face. I did that. Bingo. Turned it around. It's the glucose. It's the sugar. And that's why diabetics, hypoglycemics always need to carry something like a hard candy. If your sugar, you can tell when your sugar's dropping. And you put that in your mouth, bingo, that goes right to the brain. It has a big effect. So nutrition and wellness, understanding your body, taking care of your body, don't beat it up. Treat it with affection and respect. And believe me, you'll feel a lot better. So both of the authors I had on today, you know, Feed Your Brain, Lose Your Belly, Dr. Larry McCleary, and Rio's Hooked on Raw. I recommend both of those books highly because they're going to give you an insight into information that's going to enable you to make choices that will serve you well. I know we're just about out of time here. My goodness, it just goes by fast. Remember always, You're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You have the right of choice, and you live in a country that offers you those choices, which you should be very grateful for. So take the time to educate yourself. Take the time to be good to yourself. You're worth it. I think so. Have a wonderful day or evening wherever you might be, and we'll be right back here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.